Hi, everybody. It's Mary Lou Tyler.
Today, I have a really interesting guest, and I'm going to ask him to introduce himself because what he's doing over the pond and probably internationally is such a great topic that I don't want to flub it and bungle it. So with me today is Ian Moyse, and he works for a company called Natterbox. And with that, I would like him to tell us the topic today, which it's customer experience. The word disruption was used. So you know that this is going to be a fiery discussion. Let's start by introducing Ian. And Ian, tell us about yourself and tell us what got you interested in this topic.
Sure. Thanks, Mary Lou. Well, the interest is the day job, combination of sales leadership. So it comes as part and parcel of winning and retaining customers. And also in the technology I'm involved in. So I'm European sales director, as you mentioned, at Natterbox, which is the most embedded telephony for Salesforce. So we utilize customer data to personalize a telephony experience, personalize and shorten one of the bits that's been missing. And I also sit as non-exec on a number of other technology firms and industry bodies. So I get a good feel for what's going on in different sectors, different sizes and dynamics of company. And the world changed, right? We as humans are the customer. You and me are the customer of whether it be everyone quotes it, Uber and Airbnb, but whoever it is, the stores. And I follow what's happening in the US as well as in Europe. In retail, we're seeing devastation. We're seeing stores that have been around and brands that have been around for an incredibly long period ceasing to exist or trying to ratify and change their whole business around the way the customer now operates. Mm-hmm. And it's hard. You know, Amazon got there first. And I remember when Amazon first came out, I think a lot of people poo-pooed it. It was a bookseller. I don't know if people order that, but it was just books. What people didn't foresee was they were a platform. They were never just a bookseller. That was just happened to be where they started. We're seeing the same with Uber now. Uber, it's a taxi company. No, it's not. It's a transport. It's a platform for transportation. You know, we're seeing Uber Rush now, and we're seeing Uber Eats moving parcels and food. Mm-hmm. So we're in a market where disruptors are coming about and saying, there's a different way of doing this now because of the technology that is now available and the affordability of that technology. Everyone has a smartphone. Mm-hmm. If I can enable a smartphone user to do something in their daily life they do already quicker, smarter, cheaper, more conveniently, there is a high propensity I'm going to have a rapid attraction rate and disrupt what's there. So it's not that the existing customer experience or biodynamic is necessarily it served its purpose for when we were there. What we saw in the 70s was the experience you'd get for what was around in the 70s and the way we behaved. Mm-hmm. But you can't do it. And the millennials and Zeds now, they've grown up with this technology. Right. They expect to, I want it now, I want it faster, I want it quick, and they have no issue about it being delivered through something like Amazon Prime and delivered automatically using Ring, your doors opened by the delivery driver and put in when you're not there, all this sort of stuff, which if we'd said this 20, 30 years ago, I think we'd have all said, pie in the sky, oh, no one will accept that. And it's happening. Right now it's happening and it's accelerating. So how do you operate in that world? So, you know, it's difficult.
Right. Yeah, definitely. Is the focus in the segment of the market where you have existing customers, or is this now applying across retention, existing customers, new customers? You know, where's the main focus that we're seeing disruption have the biggest impact? Is it in the base, or is it in getting new, or is it a combination thereof?
I think it's a combination. You know, where we're seeing a disruptor offering a different way of doing something that already existed, mm-hmm. we're doing it differently. Airbnb, whilst there was rentals and stuff, but there wasn't anything really like Airbnb that they disrupted an individual specific thing. As Uber, it's started off with taxis, now it's any deliveries. I think the danger is your existing base. You know, we all remember Blockbuster Video, mm-hmm. hiring videos, going along, probably coming away with two or three because you couldn't make a decision which one you were going to get, having to take. It worked, right? When that came out and videos came out in the 80s, it was a humongous success because that was the new. That was what we saw. And they disrupted in a way, right? Because they came out with, you can rent these things. They're too expensive to purchase at the time. I remember video, a film to buy it would have been £100, £120. Mm-hmm. You saw that today. No one would even believe it. You know, a DVD is typically, you know, in your market, I guess, around the $10 mark, $10 to $15. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they disrupted themselves and came out with a way that people digest video material. And what we now have is obviously Netflix, Amazon Love Film, and these other platforms. And Apple's about to come into that space quite aggressively, according to all the reports I'm seeing, where it's been disrupted again with a different way of doing it because of the technology we now have. And that's the challenge. You've got to address your buyer. It's not about whether you're right or wrong. It's not about whether you've got a good brand or a good product. It's how does the buyer choose to digest your market segment? And are you serving them in that way? So in retail, for example, we see an incredible amount of companies trying to figure out how do we transition to being online as well as bricks and mortar. How do we do the combination? They cannot ignore the online market because it's just too big. But they're not used to it. You know, Amazon had the luxury of building from ground up, from scratch. So often what I'll say to businesses, when I'm a non-exec or chatting to them with any advice, is get a whiteboard, get the people who understand your business, and you start from scratch. Just have a meeting and just start from the principle in your heads. If we were starting this business today to compete with us, how would we do it? What would the processes be? What would the technology? How would we address the customer? And don't get bogged down in any ball and chain of legacy that you've got. Now, I know you can't actually then do that and execute on it exactly that easily, but that's the mindset you've got to start from is if we all left and went to a startup to disrupt this market, how would we do it today? And you'll find there'll be systems or approaches you'll take that you couldn't have taken 10 years ago because they didn't exist or they weren't affordable. You know, AI is now coming into this market at an incredibly affordable rate. And we're going to see more and more of chatbots where you're chatting to people and your customer experience you think is a human and it's actually not. You know, and what we're doing at Natterbox is, you know, one of the interesting dilemmas we've got is what we do is work on the telephony side. Which whilst everyone, and I'm talking about this at an event next week, whilst everyone says, well, telephony's going to die, right? Well, when something falls through the cracks, where do you turn? Mm-hmm. Right? If something doesn't work with a supplier, with your gas supplier and the boiler fix or something you're doing electronically on the website for self-serve, if it doesn't work and you fall through the cracks that they haven't got it perfect, where do you turn? And quickly, you probably turn to live chat. And if there isn't a live chat, where's the phone number?
Exactly.
And that's where we see businesses increasingly falling down because they've not scoped for that exception. And the example I'll be given next week is, you know, we all go into the retail stores today and there's the self-serve till where you can go and scan your own goods. Mm-hmm. And then there'll be 10 of those and there'll be someone over there where there's a couple of people actually human serving. So the first thing I'm going to ask the audience is, where do you go? And some people will still go to the human by default. The second one is, what happens when you go to the self-serve? Do you ever have it not work? Mm-hmm. Do you ever see other people next to you go, no, excuse me, can I get some help?
Yep.
Happens all the time, right? Mm-hmm. As soon as something falls through the cracks, you've got to be able to cope for or your that human element of help. If not, your customer experience immediately falls straight away from what you're trying to deliver. So it's great automating and looking at all the technologies you can use and looking at the panacea of Amazon who do a fantastic job. But Amazon's got incredibly deep pockets and incredible technology ownership. Mm-hmm. Most businesses will never achieve what Amazon have achieved. Although you may aspire to it, what they've done may look easy, but it is not. Right? They've invested an incredible amount of money and time to build the experience they've built. So it's a great aspiration to how do we empower customers to self-serve where they choose to, but also understanding at times customers are not going to want to self-serve and we need to deliver a shortened, personalized customer experience.
I think that's great. I mean, I know just recently for me personally, I have a house in California that is literally down to the studs now. So I have been running back and forth to IKEA, which we have out here in California. And I got
got a curtain rod that looked like it was going to be easy to install. But yeah. Once I got into it, I realized this is difficult. And when I looked at the, luckily I was able to go to YouTube of all places and find an installation. But they said, even in that YouTube video, if all else fails, pick up the phone and call and talk to someone.
There you go.
That is going to be the best way. So I felt instantly, my stress level instantly went down because I knew I'll look at the video, I'll go through that. Yep. But at the end of the day, if I can't figure this out, and I consider myself pretty mechanical in nature, but if I can't figure it out, I know I have a scapegoat. And then contrast that to a recent experience I've had with a local vendor here who does basically follow-up software. And they're based in the Pacific Northwest. It has been a nightmare to try to get any type of help, to get any type of turnaround time, because we've had to go to the knowledge base and we had to try to figure it out there.
Yep.
And if that doesn't work, then you put in a ticket. And if that doesn't work, so it's just like you can never speak to a human.
And typically, really think about that. When you want to speak to a human is when all else fails. Mm-hmm. And you're probably at not quite death's door, but you're probably at that end position where I'm desperate now. I got this. I thought it'd be easy. I wanted to get it set, this camera. I don't know, pick something. This camera set up for the wedding next Saturday. I've left a week. We've been doing. Actually, I've got a day left now.
Yeah.
I haven't got time. You know, the time pressure.
Yes.
Whatever it is, tends to get. And now you get frustrated. And you're right. I just want to speak to someone now. And then, if the provider hasn't catered for that experience, that's when you hit the problem. Now, Amazon gets away with it, right? Because I don't know about you, but every time I've gone on their live chat for help where products turned up and it was the wrong product, which happens, right? They pick an awful lot of products or it's faulty. The volume they ship, it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. But the speed at which they dealt with it on live chat, I've always had someone appear on live chat very quickly, work through the problem with me, resolve it, send a label, can send it back, new one's on the way. So I'm happy.
Right.
Because you're there 24/7, because you've resourced it. And you can afford to do so. Mm-hmm. How many times have we gone to a company as you're describing there? And there's a phone number. I'll phone them. And what you get is into a queue. So typically you'll end up with an IVR, right? Interactive voice response.
Right.
And often they're confusing. They haven't tested how does this work for the customer. So you'll go through and you'll wait in a queue for someone and you'll get through. And invariably, sometimes what happens is, you should have pushed a 3 instead of a 4 on the third menu. Mm-hmm. That product sits in a different division. Let me transfer you. Okay, right. Fantastic. Where are you transferring me to out of interest? An agent or no. I can only transfer you to their call queue.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
Then you go into their call queue. So now your blood's starting to boil a little bit more. Yeah. 40, how long have you been on the phone? 40 minutes and that. You know, it's your day. And the problem typically has been caused to you by a purchase or something that's gone wrong. And you just want to get resolution, short, quick. I just want to get this done and move on with my life. Great. Then you get through, and this is the worst case scenario, right? And they say, actually, the person you speak to, we need an engineer to call you and talk you through it or whatever. Can they call you back this afternoon? Okay. Give them the number. As you put the phone down, how much are you thinking? I wonder if they're going to call me back.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe you wait till 1 p.m., 2, 3. Some people are already calling back. Others will believe, and 5 p.m., 6 p.m. comes, and maybe your phone back and their office is shut now. Here's the problem. You've already had a bad customer experience. When you phone tomorrow, when there are open office hours, and you're probably really frustrated, you're still having to burn more time on this. It's now your time. They're not serving you, and you just want to get a fix. You go through the same IVR again. You get the same queue again. But they know they didn't call you back, right? You called yesterday. They took your details, took your number, didn't call you back. You call in today, they treat you exactly the same. Shouldn't it be that when you call back tomorrow, as an example, they can detect your phone number? That's the phone number we were supposed to call someone back on yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And automatically present you with a dynamic message to say, Mr. Moyse, we can detect we didn't call you back yesterday as promised. Apologies. If it's that you're calling about, please press 1 and we will prioritize you straight through to a preferential line. If it's anything else, press 2, in which case it reverts to the normal IVR. Because you know with a good deal of certainty that they're calling back because of the problem that you didn't close off yesterday.
Right.
So if you treat them differently, guess what? You turn a frustrated customer into a delighted one that straight away you treat them differently. Mm-hmm. Who's ever heard that happen? Okay, press 1 straight through to an agent who gets told and prompted, we didn't call these guys back yesterday, and starts the call with big apologies. We're going to get this sorted for you right now. That's our error. Boom. It diffuses that customer piece. It diffuses the risk of customer churn because you've taken away that pain as opposed to put me through a load more pain now. Treat me like you did yesterday. Guess what I'm going to do all day is moan about that and tell people about it. Oh my God, don't call them. You know, and that's what we've got to change. We do that in the telephony. What I've just described is easy for us, and we do in the telephony world. But on a website, everyone optimizes the customer journey. You think about what's gone on for years. Shortened and personalized customer journeys on websites have been a focus of marketing for years. Mm-hmm. It needs to be the same across omnichannel. However your customer interacts with you, so whether it be live chat, whether it be Twitter, Facebook, whatever you open yourself up to for your customer to be able to interact with you, you need to do 2 things. 1 is you need to be responsive. And 2 is you need to do it well. And if you can't, don't open yourself up to 10 different omnichannels.
Right.
Don't open yourself up to, you can contact us on Instagram, WhatsApp, YouTube, here's 20 ways you can contact us. Mm-hmm. The number of times I've tweeted a company and I've seen both ends of the scale, a complaint, let's go there and see what happens. And some are instantaneously responding because they know the world is seeing it. It's always, I did this with the kids' swimming goggles once. There was a problem. It shredded virtually after getting it. They were on it instantly. Please come online to direct message. Give us your address and your personal details. Which one is it? We've got a replacement on the way to you now. Fantastic. Mm. I've had others I've tweeted. I have never heard back from them.
Hmm.
They're not monitoring the channels they've opened to the customer. You know, so you've got to understand the world we now live in. Where are your customers and how do they expect to interact with you? If they're millennials, guess what? Yeah, Snapchat may be an appropriate platform.
Mm-hmm.
If they're not, and your demographic is 60 to 80 year olds, where do they choose to communicate?
Right.
What method do you want to use and do it well?
So you mentioned above in the call that there was, you know, forget legacy. Let's get on a whiteboard and figure this out. My audience is, for the most part, we love process. So I'm curious if if you can walk us through a very simple, let's just pick one channel and walk us through what inputs you're looking for in order to help determine. Now, granted, I'm sure it's different across industries, but, you know, what are the like ingredients that we have to make sure we think about as we're going through and mapping this out, forgetting about legacy going forward? Can you give us an example?
Yeah, so absolutely. So, you know, the first one I touched on there is, what is your buyer persona?
Okay.
And don't try and boil the ocean with that. I've had people say, well, we sell to everyone. Okay, but talk me through it. And then they start talking through it and start saying, 84% of our customers are in this demographic. They're female between 40 and 55.
Mm-hmm.
Great. So that's most of where you need to put your effort on serving your customer, not getting something right for the 2% that are 20 to 25 year old women who want to deal with you on WhatsApp,
right.
Unless you can do WhatsApp as well. So what happens is I've seen people look at their personas and say, well, we've got every persona. Yeah, but what's the demographic? What's the split of that in your business?
Mm-hmm.
And typically it's, you know, it may be that it's equal across all of them. But if it's not, that gives you a first clue as to how you need to address them. Because once you identify that, actually, most of our customers want to speak to us on the phone. And some of them are starting to use web forms or want to use us and buy our products through Amazon, for example. So we need an Amazon store. What is it you're seeing and where do we need to address it? And you need to be able to isolate this down to a few things that you can do incredibly well. Do not oil, the ocean. I see too often with the process side, which then leads into the technology side and the people mm-hmm. aspect, et cetera, and the data of boiling the ocean, trying to address everything. We don't tick every box.
Right.
The biggest thing is isolate down. Where are the majority of your customers? Right. How do they want to communicate with us? Do they want to self-serve an order electronically? When do they want to communicate with us differently? Maybe it's like yourself when you say, well, when it's IKEA and we can't fix something or there's something missing, there's a bolt missing in the box. Mm-hmm. That's where we see people want to get hold of us.
Right.
And typically they want to get hold of us and speak to someone because they don't know which part code it is. And we need to make it easy for them to interact with us in the way they need to interact for the use case they've got at that point in time. Mm-hmm. So some things are served by video, right? You described video. If video is the right way to go, fantastic. You've got a platform with YouTube you can host stuff on, or Vimeo, excuse me. And then you can address that from your website and your help pages. If it's not that easy and it's something you normally need to talk someone through, then you're going to need to have phone interactions. You need to screen share with them. Is it a PC piece of software? Mm-hmm. What is it you're going to need to do? And provide the resources and work through the process. Put yourselves in the shoes of your customer. How do I want to interact in the initial purchase? How do I want to interact if something doesn't? What's the things that could go wrong in the process? How would I want to interact with those? And it isn't always the same platform. You know, it changes. So too often what I see also is people address a channel and try and keep the customer on that channel. And I talk about social selling. I'm not going to drag into that now because we could do a whole other call. But when I see salespeople and they say, I spoke to the customer. I touched base with the customer yesterday. I always ask, or they use the word, yeah, I spoke to them yesterday. I always ask the word, and you actually spoke to them. Oh, no, it was an email. That's not speaking to them. You know, and why did you do it as an email? Oh, well, they emailed me back. And it's particularly in sales, it's a bugbear of mine. Customer service tends to do it is, if the customer emails you, you email back. If they interact with you on live chat, you keep it on live chat. There's nothing wrong with if there's a more appropriate channel to deal with a specific problem or customer requirement to switch channels and say to the customer, I hope you don't mind. It might be easier if we jumped on a call now. Can I kick off a call through this live chat so that we can actually speak? Mm-hmm. Or can I screen share to show you something which will fix how you're trying to use our designer software? Because I think you use the most appropriate method to resolve the customer issue the fastest to their satisfaction.
Exactly. And we use that, what you just described is what I teach my folks, if no matter what channel they start on, our goal is to always try to get them to the phone. Why? Yep. Because the phone is one phone call equals 20 emails in our world.
So you can detect misinterpretation.
Yes.
Straight away, right? You can hear tonality of the customer sounded a bit. You sounded a bit confused there. Mm-hmm. Can I just check? You understand? Oh, no, where's an email?
Right.
You don't get any of that. You lose it all. It's formulaic.
You get some sentiment, but there's a lot of guessing going around.
Exactly. Exactly. And you read the email how I interpreted it one way.
Right.
You read it a totally different way.
Yes.
Particularly in technology, right? How many times have we gone on searching for help and you follow the instruction, doesn't work. Someone explains it to you and go, oh, no, I was clicking there. Oh, I could see how you could make that mistake. Yeah, oh, I never thought of that.
Yep.
When I wrote the instructions, I didn't see that button over there that looks similar. So to me, that was obvious.
Right. I have more familiarity with the right path. So
exactly.
I'm not going to think of the nuances of you going down the wrong rabbit hole.
Yeah. And the minute you've done that, everything else becomes wrong.
Yes.
Whereas in a conversation, you identify it so much quicker.
Yeah. As we finish the conversation here, I want to be respectful of your time. I know you're not feeling very well.
Thank you.
What if I decide, I'm doing this and I am committed to it. Do you have any type of benchmarks or analytics that you can share with us as to how this is impacting loyalty or revenue?
Sure.
What are some numbers that we can aspire to, like overall? I know we by industry is going to be different, but what does this mean for us in terms of lifetime value or increased revenue?
So the big all, so right now when I talk customer experience at events and this piece, firstly, I talk what I've done here and get the audience to think about you. You behave differently today. We all do it.
Right.
We all use, whether you've used Uber, you know, you'll have flavors where I've never used Uber, but I've used Amazon. We all, in some way in our lives, digest IoT, a new technology for your heating system, whatever. Mm-hmm. We're using new technology. You can't get away from it, and we're never going back. Unless we get a solar burst and all technology goes, in which case we haven't got any choice, but that's it. You know, we are in the position we're in and
we're
moving
forward.
Yeah. With millennials and Zs who are adopting technology even quicker and inventing. You know, the world we live in is prolificating innovation, mm-hmm. because all this other tech's available, so you can innovate better.
Right.
So when you start looking at, you've got to do something, and you've got to do it now, because unless whatever you do cannot be disrupted. So if you're a barber and you cut people's hair, you're probably not going to be massively disrupted. You might find there's a booking system you can use that makes it easier to get more people through the door and not lose customers who can't get in and fed up queuing. But there's you are not going to be replaced at this point by some robot cutting hair. That's probably a long way off. But you've got to look at what's going on in the world and digest how do in our business we make use of this type of technology. And it might not be all of it. It might be just AI. It might be just chatbots. It might be just going on social. But start digesting and delivering a different experience to your customer. And in answer to your question, sorry, I wasn't deflecting it in terms of stats. A good one is the Walker study. And I've seen this across all the analysts are talking the same thing right now. So wherever you look, the Walker study came out and it said by 2020, customer experience will outweigh price and feature as the main differentiator. Mm. So it's not that you're going to pay 10 times the price for something, right. But we all live in a world where whatever you've got, there's probably a similar comparable. You always have a competitor, right? Mm-hmm. And you can, no one's exactly the same, but there'll be similarities of the customer has a choice and the customer in today's world can find their choice quickly. You can search on Amazon. I always keep coming back to Amazon, but it's easy when everyone recognizes, or Google. Mm-hmm. And you want to go and buy pick one of these handsets for your phone that takes jitter away, and you could do, there are tons of them.
Right.
And you can find all of them by searching for the generic, or you search for the one you've just seen in a magazine. And guess what? All the others come up as well. Mm-hmm. So choice is in the customer's lap instantly.
Instant, yes.
And price is typically reasonably similar. Mm-hmm. Unless there's some specialization or something which differentiates you in a niche part of the market. So what's the difference going to be? And it's going to be brand and customer experience.
Yeah.
And people are buying into that. And that's where you're going to get your loyalty. That's where you're going to get your customer reference and your reviews. Peer reviews are becoming incredibly more important. That you go online, even for a 59 pence or 59 cents app now in the App Exchange, you look at the star rating. And then you might scroll on the reviews and say, oh, okay. Oh, yeah, people are saying it's good. I'll have a chance. Mm-hmm. It's 59 cents, people.
We
right?
still work.
Software used to be hundreds and hundreds of pounds, or £40 for a game. But we still look, because it's the world we've become used to.
Right.
Information and peer insights, peer reviews are at our fingertips. Mm-hmm. So customer experience forms part of that.
Exactly. Ian, thank you so much for talking with me today. What's the best way that our folks can get a hold of you if they want to discuss this further or look at some of your writings or presentations?
Sure, yeah. Please do. I publish a lot of non-pitchy white papers and discussion points. Two places. One is Ian Moyse, MOYSE.co.uk. That will take you to my LinkedIn profile. And IanMoyse.cloud will take you to my Twitter profile.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for your time, and have fun next week at your speech.
Thank you. Thanks, Marilyn.